Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Black Girl Tea Podcast. It is your host, Nye. You know, I've gotten so great at saying that someone asked me if it was pre-recorded. And no, it's not. I just say it very nicely each and every time I say it. Aren't you proud of me? But what's up, y'all? What's going on in y'all lives? Talk to me. What's happening? As for me and my house, we are preparing for vacation. Very, very excited. And I'm trying to get all my ducks in a row so that everything runs smoothly. When I come back. So, bear with me, you know? Support your girl. Make sure y'all still gonna get episodes. I'm actually gonna record 2 episodes this week so that y'all don't go without, you know? Cause I'm a great mother and a great cousin. I'ma leave y'all with some content so y'all not lacking. But I'm going to really go and enjoy my vacation. So I'm going to have everything pre-scheduled to go out. Don't feel no type of way if I'm not interacting with y'all while I'm on vacation. Because I really need this moment for myself. But we're getting into this episode. So y'all know I love listening to podcasts. I love watching podcasts. And I have a couple. I've shouted out a couple before. So I'm going to get your pen and paper because I'm about to write some down. So there's no particular order to this. Here are some of my favorite podcasts. Sisters Who Kill. Soft Girl Season. A Soft Girl Season podcast. Stage 30. Although Stage 30 has not produced an episode in a very, very long time. I think the last episode that they did was 2018 or something. But it's a very impactful conversation. Coffee and Combos with Liz. It's a podcast. Love her. All of these are on Apple Podcasts, by the way. What's a Good Guy is one of my favorites. Professional Troublemaker, one of my favorites. You Had Me at Black, one of my favorites. And another one that is on YouTube that I absolutely love is the Shits and Gigs podcast. Love those two men, beautiful men. Me and James is married in my head. I love that man. I love his laugh. You ever been around someone, and I've never been around him, but he be in my house with me on the sound bar. And I don't have to watch them to you know, some podcasts that are digital podcasts, you really have to sit in front of them and tap in. I don't gotta listen to them. They just really be in my house. I feel like they live here. They live here. They need to cut me a check for rent because they live here. But it's okay because I be paying my £3 a month. But anyways, I love their podcast. And I don't remember what episode it was from. I'm going to try to, when y'all get this episode, which is going to be later today, check back in and see if I found the episode where they asked this question. But they asked the question in one of their episodes, and I had already seen this. There was some cats outside scrapping. I hope Lola didn't jump out the window or nothing. Anyways, I am pretty much very much caught up to date with their podcast. But sometimes I like to just let randomly select them and just play old ones sometimes. Just because I don't know. I feel like with certain podcasts, for me, I just really be needing the company in the house sometimes with me, or just I don't know. So I just need to listen to some real shit, and I know where I could get it from with certain podcasts. So their podcasts, they're not just doing shit to get likes and viewers and shit. They're having real life conversations. And I know for some people, I have a friend who, she watched a couple episodes and she was like, oh, these men are toxic. No, they're not. I mean, maybe. Some of the shit they be saying is questionable, but I don't think they're toxic men. listening to them talk about like things that they see on Twitter and Instagram and like what their reactions would be to, I think that's very much real life. And I also think that people are taking this little toxic word to a whole nother level, but that's a whole nother, I can do a whole nother episode on that. But the question that they asked, like they have a question of the week. For this particular episode that I'm talking about, the question was like, when did you realize that you were the problem, right? And I forgot who I called after that, but it was one of my friends that be like wilding out. Damn. I should have wrote all this down. Y'all, pray for me. But anyways, so I forgot who the fuck I called. But anyways, I called her and I was like, yo, when did you realize that you were the problem? And she busts out laughing. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was just like, when did you realize you were the problem? And we had a whole like 45 minute conversation talking about that shit. So I was like, I'm about to put this on my Instagram, which I did, right? So I put it on my Instagram and let me go to my screenshots because I screenshot some of the responses. So I literally said, when did you realize that you were the problem? Here are some of the responses. When I kept going back to him, even though he never gave me anything solid to go back to. Felt that. When I was texting him from a text-free number, which is fucking hilarious. And I think that was one of the responses that someone had gave on their podcast too, which is funny. I kept making excuses for her nonsense and enabled her to grow. And the one that this... The one that really triggered this episode is because I have to do a story time on this. My friend, and we're going to call her, she needs a name, Erica. For this episode, her name is Erica. Erica said, when we sat outside his house for 3 hours to catch him. So, you know, like when you have questions in your story, like you repost them, you could like add some commentary. So I reposted and I said, this is a story time for the podcast. Motherfucker sat in front of his house and watched this man with no tents. And everybody was just like, you gotta do an episode on that because what the hell? And y'all, I'm not gonna be one of those people that be like, oh, I'm innocent, because I'm not. When my friends be wanting to catch their man doing something, I be helping. I ain't gonna lie. If I don't like come to the scene with them, I'd be like, this is how you should go about it. Like, do this, do that. Like, I'd be helping them catch. I'm an investigator. I'm in the wrong line of business because I'd be figuring shit out. I should be an investigator. That's too much schooling for me. I'm over school. My brain hurts. Just thinking about more schooling to be an investigator. Oh, hell no. Anyways, back to the task at hand. So, I'm going to tell y'all the story of that very toxic situation. And then I'm going to tell y'all when I realized that I was a problem. So, picture it. Bridgeport, Connecticut, 2019. My friend called me. Erica called me and she's like, yo, I'm going to give y'all a timeline. So let's say this is Monday. She called me on Monday and she's like, me and Henry just got into an argument. So I'm like, what y'all arguing about? Now, them getting into an argument was nothing new. They actually argued a lot. And a lot of the times, and I've told my friend this, like, Erica would really just be making a big deal out of nothing. Like, if she got caught doing some shit, she really... When I say she got caught doing some shit, she wasn't, like, cheating or lying. Like, she would just be doing the most. And he would call her out on it and, like, she would completely gaslight him. And in the beginning, like, I'm only hearing her side of what's happening. And she wasn't presenting everything that happened in their relationship to our friend group, but... She would pretty much, like, tell us tidbits. And I'd be like, nah, sis, like, you was wrong for that. Like, he had every right to call you out. Now, that changed for me when I sat amongst them and I realized how the conversations went. And both of them was crazy and both of them was wrong as hell. But, you know, you ain't gonna leave the situation. I'm not in the situation. So I'm gonna help you investigate. But that's it. So she hit me up on Monday. She's like, yeah, we just got into a really bad argument. And, you know, I pretty much called him out for his lack of communication as of lately. And I'm like, well, what happened? And she's telling me everything that happened. And I'm hearing her out. She sent a screenshot. So it was like, now this is one of those times where, like, she's giving me the full story. It's not tidbits. It's not about the part that made her mad. It's the full story. So I'm reading the screenshots. And, like, she sent me, like, 4 days worth of screenshots. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, you know, what I'm seeing, there is a major lack of communication. And it just doesn't seem like he's attempting to communicate clearly at all. And I'm, you know, but I'm also asking her, like, is he going through something? What's going on? Like, what's up? And she was just like, girl, I don't know. Like, I've noticed the difference in him. I've sat him down and asked him what happened. I've taken him out to, like, you know, liven him up, try to let him know that he was appreciated, because I don't know if, like, I haven't been showing him that I appreciate him. So she's like, I did everything on my part, but he's just not talking. So I'm like, all right, girl, well, what you want to do? She's like, I really don't know. I wasn't calling you for a solution, to be honest. Like, I was just calling you to just, I needed you to tell me if how I handled it was wrong or not. So I was just like, no, but of course, I can't really read your tone in the text message. I can insinuate that you really tried your best here. But just give him a little bit of space. But, you know, text him and ask him if that's what he needs. Like, give him a little time right now, and then maybe in, like, 2-3 hours, be like, hey, like, you know, what do you need from me right now? Do you need me to give you space? And she's like, okay, cool. A couple hours went by. She updated me that she texted him. Let's say me and her have our first conversation at, like, 2 o'clock. So, 2 o'clock, me and her have that conversation. She texts him at 6 and asks, you know, like, what do you need from me right now? Do you need me to give you some space? And this man has not responded back to her. Like, so she's like, okay, clearly he needs some space. So then the next day comes, and she's calling him like she normally do. This is now Tuesday. Like she normally do before work. No response. She went through the whole work day. No fucking response. So she called his desk phone at work, and he answered, and he was like, yeah. And she was like, I'm just making sure you're good. Like, you ain't call, you ain't say nothing. He's just, I don't feel like talking. So she's like, okay, well, why have you on the phone? Like, do you want me to fall back? He's like, nah, you good, but, like, I just really don't feel like talking. So she's like, all right, cool. Like, you call me when you're ready to talk. I'm not gonna bug you. He's like, yo, you're doing the most, blah, blah, blah. I'm at work. Like, I just don't feel like talking right now. So she's like, okay, I'll call you when I get off work. He's like, okay. This is Tuesday, y'all. So Tuesday, she get off work. And, like, she called him around 9 o'clock in the morning. She gets off work at, like, 6-7. She calls him. No fucking answer. So she calls the group chat. She's like, y'all, this is what's going on. And everybody's like, girl, just give him some space. Like, you know, if he don't respond to you by 12 tomorrow, pull up at his house. So, lo and behold, 12 the next day came. Now it's Wednesday. And he ain't talked to her. So she texts us and was like, I'm going to this man's house. She has his location. His location was showing that he was home. She knocked on the door. His car was outside. He did not open the door for her. So she's now sitting in front of his house, like, on the phone with all of us, like, he's home. The location says he's home. Everything is showing that he's home, but, like, he's not saying nothing. I'm nervous. So she called his mother. His mom's like, I've been trying to get in touch with him for the last few days. When he answers the phone for me, he's just been very short. I don't know, like, what's going on. I let it rock. So she's like, you know how he gets. He can be very, very antisocial at times. So just let that shit rock. So she's like, all right, cool. You're right. So Saturday come, and she ain't talked to this nigga at all. Like, nothing from that man. He ain't text her back. Nothing at all. Like, just no type of conversation. So she's like, it's time to call the investigators in. So she called us all in. We round up. And she's like, we got to go in a car that he don't know. Because he know everybody's car. So who car we about to take? We get in Rhonda's car, right? Rhonda, it wasn't even Rhonda's car. It was Rhonda's boyfriend's car. And that man, they have not a tent in sight. So we parked like, I'm about to get something to drink. But we parked across the street, like directly across the street from this man's house. Everybody's sitting there. No tents. You're just looking at the house. So I call his phone. And me and him, like, we didn't fuck with each other like that. But, like, we had each other's, contact information. He would hit me up and be like, yo, you good? You need anything? Like, when y'all coming to the crib? And I never abused it. But this time I had to. So I call him. And he answers the phone. Mind you, we sitting in front of this man's house. I'm like, yo, Henry, you good? He like, yeah, why you ask? I'm like, well, I talked to Erica and she said, like, you been acting a little weird. You know, and when I tell y'all, I fake the fucking funk. I was like, she said you been acting a little weird. You know, I remember your grandfather died some years ago. I just, you know, I can't recall when the anniversary was, but you know, like, my grandpa died too. So, you know, if you need something, you need somebody to talk to, I'm here for you. He's like, man, Erica just be doing the most sometimes. Mind you, we in front of this man's house. I'm like, what you mean? Mind you, they all in the car with me. He's like, yo. It's like, I can't do nothing right. I washed the dishes. She like, you ain't washed the dishes good enough. Why all this oil in here? And like, he was like, sometimes I don't know if she wants to be my girlfriend or my mom. And I literally, when he said that shit, I dropped my mouth, y'all. Y'all know, if you know me, you know the face. I looked at her and I dropped my mouth because Erica, he just said, he don't know if you want to be his girlfriend or his mom. And you expect me to sit here and keep a straight face? Like, so I'm like, yeah, you know, Erica could be a little complicated sometimes. But you know, y'all got a complicated relationship. So maybe just sit her down and talk to her about it. He's like, yo, she been getting on me. Talking about I've been at my job for mad long and I don't got a promotion. I need to do something. He's like, I got a raise. And I'm like, this man, he's like, I got a raise at work. I don't want to switch departments or anything like that. I don't want a leadership role. Like, I'm really comfortable where I'm at. I'm making my bread. I'm about to start going back to school. Like, but she really on my ass about a promotion. Like, I hear you. You know how Erica could be. So he's like, I appreciate you for checking in. I'm like, yeah, give her a call because she's freaking out. He's like, I ain't fucking calling her. He's like, but I appreciate you, though. He hang up the phone. So I'm looking at Erica like, bitch, what the fuck you about to do? Because you heard all that shit. So, you know, everybody else in the back seat was like, yo, mind you, let me pause real quick. We are driving Rhonda's boyfriend's car, but Rhonda is in the back seat. Erica is in the passenger seat. And I'm in the driver's seat. So I'm like, what you about to do? And she's like, bro, I don't even fucking know. So Rhonda's in the back. Rhonda's like, you know, Erica, you know, me and my man was going through something similar. And he really sat me down. He gave me like a very stern talking to. And I really just needed to learn to hear him out. And I think that you should learn that with him. And like, learn your boundaries. If he is telling you that he has a plan for his life, like, just trust that he has a plan for his life and that he's going to be capable of, you know, being successful. Like, he's been successful thus far. What are you worried about? So we just laughing and talking at this point. We in the car now, like 2 hours, and she calls his phone. He texts her and he was like, I really don't feel like talking, what's up? And she was like, I want to see you. He's like, I really don't want to fucking talk. Like, I need some space. And she texted him and was like, I'm coming over. And he was like, please don't. Like, I really just need some space. I got a lot on my mind right now. I'll talk to you when I'm ready. If you're free tomorrow, we can go out to dinner. And she's like, why would I wait for tomorrow to talk to you, like, when I could talk to you today? And he just kept saying, like, I really don't want to do this right now. Like, I really don't want to do this right now. Please just give me some time. And once I start reading the messages with her, I was like, oh yeah, girl, I think we should leave. And I really did think that we should leave because it was just too much. Like, he's at this point, he's pleading for us not to be at his house. And, like, he's asking you for some time. Just give the man the time. Please just give the man the time. And she was just not, like, she was not doing it. So she started texting him going crazy, like, going off on him. And he's like, this is what I'm talking about. Actually, for some fucking space and time, he won't give it to me. So he called me back. Mind you, I'm connected to the fucking Bluetooth, so I had to, like, shimmy the phone off or whatever so he wouldn't hear me outside his window. So he's like, yo, where you at? And I was like, oh, I'm on the Ave. He's like, yo, come to my house. I'm going to be outside. So I'm like, are you okay? But I'm trying to, like, maneuver and start the car without it being obvious that I'm outside this nigga's house. Because if he hear the car on the phone and outside his house, there's going to be some problems. And he's like, you know what? Forget it. Because I feel like she's about to come over here. Hangs up the phone on me. He don't even say bye or nothing. He hangs up the phone. And this man opens his fucking door. And all of us is sitting in front of his house. And he spazzed on everybody in the car. He was like, nah, you call me. You in the car with her. What type of friend are you? You not no friend. You an investigator. He was sick on us. In that moment, I realized I was a problem too, but not in my old life, in her life. We should have went home, and I was trying to go home, but when Erica got her mind set to something, that's just what it is. And I felt really bad because he really just needed a break, and we ended up having a whole Dr. Phil moment with him. It was very cute. I'm happy to say that Erica and Henry are still together. They are engaged, and they have made a great turn in their relationship. I'm very proud of them. Therapy works, guys. Therapy works. But now that the shits and giggles is out of the way, I have to tell you guys, when I realized that I was the problem. I hope you didn't think that the episode stopped right there. Thanks for listening to the Black Girl Tea Podcast. Let's get back into it. Oh, I realized that I was a problem when I was able to relate to too many of the toxic Instagram posts. The one that I'm talking about in particular, it says something of the, I'm paraphrasing, but it says something to the fact of, like, I'm with the love of my life, but we're not ready for each other, but we refuse to let each other go. So I'm casually building bonds with other people, right? In that moment, I realized I was fucked up. Because that's exactly what the situation is. Like, I'm the problem because I'm allowing this. Like, I can say, I realized I was a problem when I realized I was allowing too much. Like, I kept allowing myself to go back. I kept dealing with the broken promises. Like, I just kept on keeping on, and it wasn't a good keeping on. And it was really bad. It was really, really bad. So, I had a conversation with Che a couple weeks ago, and I explained it to her, and it made perfect sense. So, hopefully when I explain it to you guys, perfect sense to you all. So the dipshit in which I'm speaking of, when I come, you know, I have a list. I've created a list of things I want in a man. He is 90% of that list. 90%. He's missing, like, two things. And he's not missing those things because, like, he's missing them. He doesn't know how to do it. He just doesn't practice those things, right? He doesn't practice them consistently. Let me say that. So, he's capable of communicating, and he communicates when it's convenient for him, right? But when the shoe's on the other foot, all that shit goes out the fucking window. So, like, that's what I mean. He is 90% of my list. Now, the other people that I've built this bond with, and I'm not sexually active with these men, I need to clear the air there. But those men are, each of them individually bring a little bit to the table to compensate for the 10% that he's lacking. So him as an individual is 90%. And these other men are the 10% that he's lacking. So when I want to have that annoying, you know, you could be a little bit of a brat sometimes. And he just don't be having time for me to be a brat. Like, that shit annoys him sometimes. Certain situations it annoys him. Certain situations it's cute. But like, when it's the situations where it completely annoys him, I'm capable to go to the Purple Martian, the Milk Dud. I'm trying to think of another nickname for people. Y'all not gonna know any of these people by these nicknames, but the Purple Martian, the Milk Dud, and the basketball player, right? I can go to the three of them, and in that moment, the 10% that he's lacking, they immediately pick up the slack. Immediately pick up the slack. Like, if I say, yo, I want to have a date to the bookstore. Like, are you down? He's like, nah, that's not my thing. All right, cool. He the Purple Martian. Yo, I want to go to Barnes & Noble. All right, bet. You want me to come get you or you going to meet me there? Oh, meet you there, buddy. And I got my reusable shopping bag, too. And I'm sure he knows. Because I don't move, like, in the secrecy when I'm doing shit. I just move. Like, simple as that. I move. I do what the fuck I'm going to do. And I don't really care. When I feel like I'm feeling at that particular time of that relationship or whatever, I really just didn't give a fuck. Like, I move how I move. I don't hide nothing. I just move how I move, and I don't care. So it's not like I was hiding anything from him. So I'm sure he knew, and I just didn't give a fuck. Like, you wanna be stupid and miss those opportunities with me, then go for it. I'm gonna still have those opportunities. And there would be certain things that he would see from me, like posting on social media, like, oh, you said you wanted to go there and you didn't give me an opportunity to take you. Nigga, I did give you an opportunity, and you showed absolutely no enthusiasm. Two, I waited 3 weeks and you ain't never mentioned it again. So I went with the Purple Martian or the Milk Dud or the basketball player. Like, you can't be mad. You can't be mad. But this motherfucker is real secretive about certain shit. Like, this nigga will be on a whole vacation and won't post nothing. And that's the shit I don't fucking like. Because who the fuck you on vacation with? Even though I know it's me. Why the fuck you not posting nothing? Like, and I'm not one of those girls that, like, you don't gotta post me on your social media or nothing like that. But, like, at least fucking acknowledge me. And that was something I was also lacking, like, at a certain point. Wasn't acknowledged. And you don't gotta be like, this is my girlfriend in front of the whole world. But, like, yo, it's the simplest of shit, bro. And I was the problem because I was just letting shit rock. And I didn't end anything. And that's when I realized I was a problem. I also realized I was a problem. So, I realized I had a problem a long time ago. Right? I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all. Have y'all ever seen the movie Good Deeds? It's a Tyler Perry movie. If you have, I think it was right at the bridal shower or something like that, or the rehearsal. I don't remember which one. I think it was a bridal shower. It's toward the end of the movie when they're all fighting. I think they're fighting. They're either at the bridal shower or they're fighting in the elevator. One of those scenes. And Felicia Rashad says to the little mistress lady, he likes projects. And I never agreed with something so much in my life. Like, I was like, oh yeah, me too. I should have realized right then and there that I had a fucking problem. But I was young. And I guess you can't even really say that as an excuse. But at that very point in my life, I didn't really know what the fuck it was to, like, be a person to like, like, you know, to have a thing for projects. But now that I'm sitting here and could realize that I agreed with that, it was wrong with me. I should have left. Which is why I think I'm better off alone. So, since I've made this realization that I was a problem, I know the follow-up question will be, what have you done to no longer be the problem? So, I still be entertaining this nigga. But I'm very much like, I used to be timid about, and not timid in an insecure way, but I used to just be timid about addressing things because I didn't want to seem like I was nagging. Erica, for instance, like, y'all just heard me talk about Erica. Like, I didn't want to seem like one of those people that was like, are you my girlfriend or are you my mother? Like, I didn't want to have that, like, in the situation where Erica happened years before I started interacting with this person. So I was very conscious about that. Like, if I start to sound like I'm nagging, it's because I've talked too much. Like, if in my head I sound like I'm nagging you, it's because I've addressed this too much. I've addressed this too many times. So I'm gonna have to respectfully leave your ass alone. Although I have not left his ass alone, which I think is like crack or something. He got crack in him or something. I don't know. I've just started taking my own space and really trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Trying truly to like prioritize him less, which is very hard to do when you genuinely love somebody. And I could genuinely say I love this nigga, bro, but like, it's just, I don't even know how to describe it. I really don't. I love this man. And like I said earlier, he's that 90%. And there has been times when he has been 100% of what I wanted. 100%. But it's like sometimes, like a switch or something goes off in his head and he's just not it anymore. And I'm very sick of it. And sick of it in a way of like, I kind of want to like shake him. Like, what the fuck is your problem? But it's like, I have identified a trigger for him that he has not spoken about with me. Which is another reason why I kind of walk on eggshells with certain things, because I've identified it and you haven't had to say anything to me. And I've said like, oh, you don't like when blah, blah, blah happens. Why is that? And I've gotten the slick remark of like, oh, now you swear you know me now. You just let me know that I do. But like, so I try to be like supportive from afar and like, just very aware of things that I say and things that I do, and knowing some of the things I was said to him as a child. Like, I don't ever want to be like, for me, like, for example, my dad is 70% of the trauma that I have. And when people, whether it's intentional or not, treat me like my dad, it brings out a side of hurt in me that like I start to resent the person. And it don't even got really like, especially when it's unintentional, when someone does something that triggers me because of how my dad treated me and it's super super like unintentional, I shut down and like I feel like I have to kind of like I feel very just heartbroken all over again, like to experience this level of hurt from someone who I thought really cared about me, and they don't even know what they fucking did to me. Like, it's hard for me. So I would imagine, and I'm someone who communicates, I over communicate at times to let people, like, to just help people be aware of like who I am. I'm that aware of myself. So like, for me to have that awareness and see that this is someone who doesn't have this awareness, I try to like compensate. And I truly just try to be patient and supportive because I understand firsthand like what it's like to address some of those triggers and traumas and stuff like that. And it just, one day it'll work out. But I have distanced myself from the situation. A healthy distance, you know, like feed him with a long handle spoon type of thing. 100% have my support in anything he got going on. I may not physically show up, but you know, I'm gonna send my congratulations, my proud of you from a distance. And that's how I've dealt with me being the problem. therapy is definitely helping. I will also say that. I think therapy has been, the way that my therapist handles situations with me has been amazing. And it's been in ways that, like, my own mom has not been able to like, help me with these issues, which is why, you know, why you should go to therapy. But my therapist is like, you know, when you feel like this is becoming unhealthy for you, you have to walk away. And it may be a temporary walk away or a permanent walk away, but, like, walk away. And that's been something that I've been doing. I have been walking away and going back and walking away and going back. And at this very point in life, I have walked away. And I'm a little uncertain if there's a going back. I can honestly say that. I'm uncertain. And I'm leaning toward... Damn, you know what's about to be crazy? He's probably going to hear this before I actually have a conversation. It's okay. I'm leaning toward not going back. Because I feel like, you know, I've set goals for myself. And I have made things very clear for myself. And I feel like, you know, if I have that clarity and the understanding that I need, I really don't have to, especially to someone I've communicated with, overly communicated with in the past, about things that bother me and things that I need from them. I don't really have to share too much of my, like, my follow-up plan and how I'm going to follow through with things. But, like, I feel like I've held on enough and I've gone back too many times that if I go back this time and it's the same thing, then I'm disrespecting myself. And Naomi don't disrespect herself. Naomi knows her worth. And there's a level of patience that turns into somebody truly just not giving a fuck. Like, they see you being patient, they feel like, oh, she always gonna be there. Nah, maybe she will. But, y'all have a blessed day. Be honest with yourselves when you ask yourself that question. When did you realize you were the problem? And then set parameters so that you can stop being a problem. Talk to y'all soon.